It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Bounce pass to Santos. Warriors will run it out. This one's over. Golden State stays unbeaten in preseason. They come away with a 111-97 victory, and the two teams will see each other on Friday night at Chase Center.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. It's always good to start a morning off with the voice of Tim Roy. Of course, the mini voice of him and Fitzgerald, of course. Fitzgerald does TV. Tim Roy on radio, right here on 95.7 The Game, the flagship station, of course, out in Las Vegas. As the Warriors improved to 5-0 into preseason, they beat the Lakers at the T-Mobile Center. I don't care if it's preseason, scrimmages, postseason. Beating the Lakers is always feels good. Always feels good to beat the L.A. Lakers. But some things to like about the Warriors. There are some things that's going to be interesting about the Golden State Warriors. And we'll get into Chief Snyder's and Andy Reid and Belichick and some of the plays that maybe change the course of history when it comes to sports or whatnot. But we'll start with the Warriors. And we're just talking about Moses Moody, who Steve Kerr mentioned after the game, said, you know what, he's forcing my hand. He's going to be a part of this team. He's going to have a role on this team. Now, of course, we always hear that stuff. We want to see it play out, but Moses Moody is taking his claim as a guy who needs to play this season, Shasky.
Well, I agree with you. He does look really good. You use the word decisive over and over, and I would agree with that.
Decisiveness, yeah. He just seems very quick with his decision-making, whether he's going to shoot, whether exactly. He's going to pass. Just go, go, go. Don't think about it.
No, it was bombs away, and I know that Kerr has kind of talked about like the bombs away mentality, but they kind of have the personnel for it. And to your point about being more athletic, like you've been saying that for a couple of days, weeks leading up to some of these games, it plays to their strengths to be able to bomb. Now, there's going to be nights where they take horrific shots early in a shot clock, and I think it's going to drive some of the old heads, like myself, a little crazy. But they do look quicker. I do like the spacing on the floor. The only question I have, and it's not, I feel like a hater even like referencing this, there's just so many wings. I'm not sure what the pecking order is going to be, and I think that a lot of nights, we're going to, when they fall short, you're going to be like, well, why not GP2 for X amount of more minutes? Why not Moody for more minutes? Buddy Hield, why not more Buddy Hield? I mean, quietly, and I can't believe I'm here, Buddy Hield, like, really, I like what he does for this team. He's a nice fit. But no Melton last night and no Pajemski.
Yeah.
So I guess my question to you is like, all right, if those guys are back in there, do you start Wiggins Kuminga off the rip?
Well, remember we asked Anthony Slater, you know, I asked the questions, are they going to play Wiggins at the two? To start Kuminga, Draymond, and TJD, or Looney at the five, alongside Stephen Curry. So it's like, I don't know about that. Because, you know, you're not going to score a lot of points. And you saw early on in that first stretch with Wiggins and Kuminga, the spacing was a little compromised. The shooting was a little off. So I don't know what you do with that. I don't know what you do with Wiggins and Kuminga. But you need both of their defense. And I got to say, Wiggins, his defensive intensity was very impressive yesterday. Very impressive. As far as Kuminga, he's going to make some turnovers. He's going to make some mistakes. His shot selection at times is going to drive you crazy. But then you see the talent. You see the talent in the open floor. You see him in transition. You see him defensively, the prospect or the potential of him defensively as an individual defender. It's there. So if you can get both of those guys on the same page, wow, that's awesome. Now, I don't know what you do with Melton Pajinski, but I'll say this. That second unit, whether it's Pajinski leading the second unit, whether it's slow-mo Kyle Anderson leading the second unit, they just seem so comfortable playing together. And I think that's going to be a big advantage for the Warriors this season. It has been the second unit that knows their roles. Buddy comes in. Look, he was 4-13 yesterday, 2-9 from 3. I don't care. The shot selections and the quality of shots were very good yesterday for not only the second unit and Buddy Hield, but I think for the most part, the entire game, the shot selections was really good. They were creating really good shots last night.
I've probably seen, four? I want to say there's four preseason games that have been on
five.
TV. Is it five? Okay, well, whatever. Buddy Hield overall has just impressed me. I like his intensity. Number one, his spacing and sprinting down the floor to his spot. Like, that to me is much needed on this team. And clearly, when he's on, he can hit open shots. The interesting thing with Kuminga And I've kind of come to this particular point. Everybody just kind of like crushes what he is. And like, he makes a bad turnover last night. There was a couple of bad turnovers.
Who crushes him?
And people are losing their minds. And I'm like, what, well,
the internet?
Up. What?
You talk about the internet?
Just in general. People that cover the team. Like, we want to highlight these individual lapses. And he's not a perfect player. Dude, what is he, 22? Bonte, is he 22?
22 years old. Yeah. 22 years old.
Steph Curry is one of the greatest players of all time. He had like three horrific first quarter turnovers where he's just throwing into the stands. You know, that over the shoulder pass that he makes. And it kind of, the good comes with the bad. You have to kind of bake in some of the stuff. Baked into the Kuminga equation is you're going to have a goofy possession defensively where he kind of like overplays LeBron and gives up a dunk. But then you're also going to get two or three really good rebounds.
Right.
And then you're going to get three or four like ridiculous plays around the rim. He had a couple of finishes. Yep. How about the beautiful pass to TJD?
Right,
so
on the baseline.
I'm kind of done adjudicating all of the negatives of Kuminga.
Number one, I don't even know who's mad. I don't. When I watch basketball, the game is going so fast at a pacing. I kind of look back at when I used to tweet live basketball games. I was at the game. It's like, how did I do that? Because the game is up and down, up and down, up and down. So when I'm watching a game, I'm not, you know, I see my text messages. There'll be people texting or whatnot, but I don't think anybody's getting super outraged. If you are getting outraged over preseason,
like the tolerance feels like the tolerance level for certain mistakes are just all over the place.
When you have Steve Kerr, the only person people are going to be tolerable about is Steph Curry. That's it. I mean, the tolerance for Steve Kerr, we've taken calls. People want Steve Kerr out of here. The tolerance level for, say, of Klay Thompson, say, Andrew Wiggins, say, Jonathan if you're not Curry, you're going to get heat from this fan base. It's just, it is what it is. Now, I don't think it's right, and I'm not saying that it's right, but Kuminga's 22 years old, and the reason why people are going to stick onto him is because he's the guy that you got to figure out what to do with when it comes to the contract. Is he here long term? Is he a trade piece? What does the future look like for Jonathan Kuminga in a Golden State Warriors uniform? I think it looks very bright. But right now, you got the contract lingering. And if you don't start him, I do wonder, in a contract year, if you don't start him, where does his mind go as a 22-year-old? Where does he go here? Because he's done everything he could to make an impression on his fan base and his coaching staff. And he plays hard, so he's going to get minutes. I do think Wiggins and Kuminga could work. I do think it could work. I wonder, though, with the spacing on a three-point shot early on with the starting unit. But again, that'd be a good stretch here for them. You see Wiggins 0 for 3. You see Kuminga 0 for 3. You see Steph 3 for 11. So right away with the starting unit, if you do go the route of Wiggins and Kuminga, I love it defensively. But offensively, what type of team are you offensively with Draymond, Wiggins, and Kuminga alongside TJD playing with Stephen Curry? That's the question I want to answer.
Well, I think, in my heart of hearts, I think they're going to go Pajemski or Melton in the starting lineup over one of those guys and probably stick with TJD. They'll never do it, but, you know, there could be an argument said for Draymond coming off the bench. I just don't see them ever doing it. And I would probably still start Draymond currently on this team. But the reality is you can't play Dre at the five all year long to start games and to close games. That I just think that it's not going to work. Physically, he can't hold up. And he has expressed his own desire to play alongside a five. I think you can close games with Dre at the five. I don't think you can start him all year long. I think there's an occasional start here and there, which brings me to this point then.
They started TJD yesterday. And again, you're going to see Looney start at times at the five. That's going to be interchangeable depending on the matchups. And Steve Kerr, they're not going to wear Draymond Green out, but it's certain situations, you can't get away with him at the five, but you can't do it for no more than maybe 7 to 10 minutes a game.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I agree with you. But then, doesn't it feel like it's, I hate, it just, I can't see a scenario, I want to believe it, where Wiggins and Kuminga can coexist and thrive simultaneously. It just feels like it's one or the other, and they have to make a decision.
We'll see. Steve Kerr touched on it yesterday, but first, Moses Moody's performance, he's 7-14, 5-8 from the three-point line, shooting 44% so far in the preseason. And again, it's a contract year for him. We talk about Kuminga's money as we pocket watch. But Kuminga, Moody right now is 13-29 from three this preseason, shooting 44.8% from the three-point line. Here's what Kerr had to say about Moody last night.
He's playing great. He's gotten so much better in so many ways. We've always loved his character, his work ethic. But I think he's the most confidence that I I think he's played with. And, you know, he's going to, you know, he's going to play a big role for us. I mean, he's, you know, but so are a lot of other guys. And, you know, we're sitting in that coach's room every day saying, how do we play all these guys? Because they all deserve to play. So I've asked all of them, just, you know, play your hardest, play, make it difficult for us. And they're all doing that.
So the problem they had last year was you had too many guys, right? You had to play Chris Paul. You had to play Pajivski. Pajivski forced his way into minutes. He played really, really well alongside TJD. He got an opportunity and never looked back. Now with this roster, because I do like Melton, and I do like Slo-Mo, and I do like Buddy, and I do like Pajivski. Pajivski's fit. I think people are going to appreciate Pajivski more and more this season. I really do.
Is Pods a two or a one in your equation?
He's a one. He's a point guard. Okay, he's going to set your offense up. Okay. Now, he's got to improve his catch-and-shoot threes. There's no doubt about that. That's the next step for him. But, boy, Moses Moody, we've seen him now. This is his fourth year. It just seems like whenever he plays, he's ready to roll. And so, what is Moses Moody? How does he crack the starting lineup? Well, or not to forget the starting lineup. How does he get minutes, I should say?
Well, yeah, that's the number one question. Like Kuminga, Wiggins, Hield, Melton, yeah. Moody, GP2, and then do I throw Lindy Waters in there?
Well, Lindy Waters is interesting. He's interesting. I think he's the odd man out.
Waters is?
Waters, even though he could shoot it, man. He didn't shoot it great last night, but he could shoot the ball. There's no doubt. Moses Moody, if he shoots like he did last night and he continues to shoot like this, then he's going to force his way onto the court. And they're going to have to play him out there because that's another floor spacer. Another floor spacer on the team that Steve Kerr said, we're going to get up a lot of threes. We're going to let it fly. So the Let It Fly Warriors in 2024-25, the Let It Fly Warriors are going to have to incorporate Moses Moody. And I think he's going to force Steve Kerr's hand, especially if he continues to shoot like this, and be attentive defensively, too, because you got to play defense on this team. If you don't play defense, you don't pass, you ain't playing.
Totally. So if you got the two and the three spots, and I go there's 48 minutes in a game, you're looking at a total of 96 minutes,
yeah.
Right, between those two positions, essentially. I feel like Slo-Mo is going to get a lot of looks at the four.
Oh, Slo-Mo is going to play the four or the five.
Or the Draymond, five. Okay.
Draymond actually likes playing the five alongside Slo-Mo at the four.
Okay.
That's not a bad move, but Slo-Mo is going to play. He's going to be in that front court.
Oh, I agree. So this is just, I'm just going two threes. Like, let's just go two threes. So if I were to say there's 96 minutes in any given game for those two positions, how many minutes is Wiggins getting in this equation? So because I think he's a vet and they clearly need him and he's important. Of the 96, how many are going to him?
Probably 28 to 30.
Okay, let's say 30 just to be conservative here. So that gives me 66 extra minutes. Then how much for Kuminga?
He's probably going to play 28 to 30.
Okay. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Well, there's going to be so many different combinations, though. You know what I'm saying? The Anthony Melton's going to be playing alongside Wiggins at times. Wiggins is going to be leading the second unit at times as a scorer. Kuminga may be that guy. With the second unit leading the charge as a scorer. How Steve Kerr plays with the rotations is going to be fascinating to me when they start the season next week in Portland. I don't know where Steve Kerr is going to go with the rotations. Like, I wouldn't even focus on everybody fixates on starting. And again, it's not about who's starting. And I think we all learned our lesson about that last season, hopefully. But who's going to be playing in the final five? What intrigues me. The final five. Because Melton could guard, Wiggins could guard. Kuminga has potential to guard at a really high level. We know Draymond can guard, and then they're going to have Steph out there. But given on a game-to-game basis, it could be Looney. It could be, I don't know, it could be Slo-Mo, because he knows how to play. He's played in crunch-time situations. So in a sense, it's not a bad thing to have too much depth. But at the same time, you're going to handcuff yourself saying, boy, should I give this guy another minute? So it's almost like you got too many guys somewhat. And, you know, this is why you work the phone lines. Maybe there's a trade out there available. And I don't know who. Look, I want to see how this team plays out the first couple months before we do anything here. But right now, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. What if it's GP2? We forgot about GP2.
Well, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, like, all right, if you're going to give Wiggins and Kuminga give or take 30 minutes of those 96 that are at those two positions, mm-hmm. you really got about 40. I'm just going whole numbers here. You got about 40 minutes for five guys: Buddy Hield, Melton, Moody, GP2, and Waters.
Right.
On any given night, multiple guys are going to be the odd man out. And so, yeah, your point about redundancy of positions is there is a little logjam. And I think It's just tough. I think it's tough on the coach. I think it's really hard. Yeah, I think people need to like take a deep breath let Steve Kerr work this out.
Well, he just said it. We got so many guys. How are we going to play these dudes? How are we going to play these guys? Well, here's what Kerr said last night about Wiggins and J.K. And this is the thing about Wiggins and J.K. with the starting lineup that I do like. These guys, I'll let Steve Kerr take it away.
You know, the key, J.K. and Wiggs running the floor. I mean, it puts a lot of pressure on teams. And so they set a good tone tonight. The way they just got downhill, with or without the ball, they were gone. And so I really like the way both those guys played and the impact that they can make with their athleticism and force.
So that's part of the athleticism in the starting lineup, and they can run the floor. They can defend their ass off. Wiggins was getting in the guys yesterday. Very impressed. Offensively, his game will come around. He's a rhythm player. We know that. But defensively, I think Wiggins is really getting into dudes, defending at a very high level individually. And if you get him and Kuminga on the wings, defending with Draymond in the back end, barking as he works with TJD and that communication. But don't count out Looney as a starter. Because Looney, I think, has had a really good preseason as well. Showing good footwork. I think his defense against the Sabonis, against the Kings when they played him in the preseason game, was very solid. So I wouldn't stick a fork in Looney quite yet. Looney's going to have something to say about playing alongside Draymond Green, but look, I think Wiggins and J.K. can work. Now, offensively, can they hit a couple threes to loosen up the defense? Can Draymond hit a couple threes to loosen up the defense? That's going to be a key if they do start J.K. and Wiggins together.
Well, you noticed, I think in the first quarter, mid to late of the first quarter, they just left Draymond wide open in the corner.
I don't love him in the corner
as a shooter, but because of spacing, he's going to end up in the corner with a wide open shot. Can you just hit that enough? Just enough to make someone have to take another step out. That we're not asking about like, oh, he's a 43% shooter from the corner. Just be so proficient to where a guy has to at least not leave you wide open.
I agree.
Because then it opens up his dribble drive game. Yep.
No, the dribble drive game opens up. He's throwing alley-oops to either Wiggins or Kuminga on the baseline. I think Andre Iguodala slashing down the baseline with Draymond Green throwing it up on the 4-on-3 when they're doubling Stephen Curry. So, look, Draymond's had a solid preseason. I think the Warriors overall, you get 5 wins. But more importantly, man, they're getting scrappy. They're athletic. They're getting to the hustle points. They're out-rebounding teams. You see them out-rebounding Lakers for the most part yesterday. And let me say this. As I'm watching the L.A. Lakers, Dalton Connect is getting his shots up. There's no doubt about that. The ball gets in his hands and it doesn't leave. There's no doubt. The only time the ball leaves his hands is when he's shooting. That's Dalton Connect. He's a solid player. Bronny James does not belong in this league. I'm sorry, man. He should be in college. He should be balling. I can't tell a grown man what to do. But it's so obvious. He's not ready for this level. It's not even close.
Let's talk about it on the other side.
It's not even close. Seriously. It's terrible. All right. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Forget to call it to the roast. You better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. What's coming up in a game brought to you by Safeway Northern California Division. Got a lot on the Niners, a lot on the Chiefs. We'll reveal that on the other side here on the roast.
Pace and gets it done. Here comes Grant. He's got it. Bronny James to the basket for 2.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Josh Askey on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, JK, good to hear from you. Good to see you playing very, very well so far in the preseason. A lot of answers. Look, and there's something about a team that you've got a lot of contract years, right? You got Looney contract year, GP2 contract year, Kuminga contract year, Moody contract year, Nathan Melton contract year, Buddy Hill's future up in the air, Kyle Anderson's future up in the air. Guys got to prove themselves, but it feels like it's coming together very well. At least the second unit looks like they're going to be a problem. They're going to be in the plus when it comes to plus minus. They're going to be plus, plus, plus for a lot of games. And that was the case last year with the bench. It was different. This one looks a lot more spry, a lot more athletic, a lot faster. They look like they know what they're doing. They know their roles is defined. So I'm excited about the Golden State Warriors. What I'm not excited about is all the heat Bronny James is going to get from Laker fans this season. It is not. This guy's not a baller in the NBA. Not yet. G League is calling him. He got the guaranteed money being a second round pick, but boy, that was tough to watch last night.
So, like, I heard a lot of people talk about, like, well, you know, LeBron has accumulated all this power. And if you own a business, then you want to be able to give that business to be able to your children and blah, blah, blah. American sports is business, but being a player is an meritocracy. You make it based on your skill, right? And look, do you get opportunities if your last name is a certain last name? Sure. Like, there's no doubt about it. I'm sure we could go through every sport. Like, for example, Mike Piazza was drafted by Tommy Lasorda late, like the 20s or 30 rounds, because he knew the family friend or whatever. And then it was up to Mike Piazza to end up, you know, carving out a name for himself. And he ended up having a great career. And, you know, over 300 home runs, and was one of the great sluggers at catching position. But, like, LeBron, Bronny didn't even play at USC. And what this smacks to me of, and I feel bad for Bronny. I want to say that on the front. I feel legitimately bad for him. This is the youth coach whose dad puts the son at shortstop and bats him leadoff when everyone in the building knows he's the ninth hitter and he should be playing right field.
Yeah.
And you're setting your own son up for horrible feel amongst his peers and criticism galore. And I just think that, like, LeBron of all people should have, like, seen this coming. It's like, dude, you're really pulling the AAU dad move on the biggest of stages. It's one thing if your son would have been an undrafted free agent that signed with the Lakers. It's another to get the organization to not just draft him, give him the most amount of guaranteed money a second rounder has ever gotten. Like, there's guys on that team that are going to feel some kind of way, and you should have known what ecosystem your son is stepping into. LeBron.
Well,
I'm just shaking my head, B. I just
you love LeBron.
I do to be a degree, but this move was is one too many. Dude.
It'd be fascinating to see if they play him right away against the Minnesota Timberwolves when the Lakers open the season against Minnesota. What will happen in that situation when Minnesota opens the season in L.A.? Will they finally get the father-son, the first father-son duo to play on the same court together, blah, blah, blah? Maybe you just get that out the way. And then you send them down to the South Bay Lakers.
You're probably right.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do in L.A. I don't know what they're going to do in L.A. By the way, J.J. Redick, shout out to my guy Greg Sag, back on the bench with the L.A. Lakers. I think he's running the offense. J.J. Redick's going to be fascinating as well.
Yeah, I'm out on him.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are out on him. And look, he doesn't come off well, comes off a bit condescending, but I'm eager to see how he does, because it felt like after watching some of the doc, I haven't finished it, but the basketball doc on Netflix.
LeBron, the five. What's the five?
Starting five.
Thank you. Anthony Edwards.
Boy, they were out on Darvin Ham early in that season. Well, damn.
You know.
Ham sandwich, man. Damn. Could give my guys some love.
Could sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
You sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Well, Bonte, you do like the big brands. You know, you like the Lakers.
I don't like the Lakers.
You love your Yankees.
I do like my Yankees. I like them.
Did you see what happened last night?
I like my Orioles too. Yeah, Judge finally went yard.
You can't like two teams in the same division.
Yeah, I know, but you know I like the players, but I have respect for the pinstripes. I have respect for Baltimore and their rich history out there in Baltimore.
But they're your Yankees now.
Well, I'm just saying it.
6-3, big win last night.
Right now, big win last night. 2-0 series lead. Go to Cleveland, take care of business, get ready for the World Series.
Right.
Let the Dodgers and Mets beat up on each other. Juan Soto looks good in pinstripes. Garrett Cole, can you get through five, please?
No.
Please?
He's been mediocre he's been since
hurt.
Coming back.
Yeah, I know.
By his standards. Bonte, let's play a quick little game. It's called Box Score Bonte.
Ooh, I like this.
Oh, yeah, we know that Bonte Hill is a well-rounded individual, and no one knows his way around the box score quite like him. So let's play a little Box Score Bonte.
You know, Box Score Bonte is a great name, considering I don't use a lot of numbers to drive home my points anymore, because everybody loves to use numbers. It's a statue to death. I got knowledge. I don't need stats, but I do know the stats. I do love me some good numbers.
When was the last Yankee championship, Bonte?
Oh, man, was it 2009?
Yes, sir.
Boom. Over the Philadelphia Phillies in six games.
Yeah. So we're going to play a little game here where I'm gonna give you three strikes or you're out. You get opportunities to name the starting lineup or any player who played in the game, actually in the game, for the Yankees.
All right.
And they won 7-3 in that game, obviously. And so that was their 27th title. Joe Girardi as the manager. Can you start naming off the starting lineup in that game?
All right, Melky Cabrera was playing.
Nope.
No, he wasn't. No, excuse me. Robinson
That's
Cano.
That's one strike.
Robinson Cano? Derek Jeter.
Correct. Derek Jeter leading off.
Who's playing
Slow
first
down.
Base? Who's playing first base for the Yankees? 2009 Yankees. Posada still? No, Posada was gone.
There?
Posada was there. Posada was still there.
I'm giving it to you.
Wow, Posada was still there. Who's on that Yankees team? A-Rod?
A-Rod,
of course. Alex Rodriguez.
Batty cleanup.
Mark Teixeira.
Texas
space. Who's in that outfield? Our boy Nick Swisher was on that team.
Look at you.
Nick Swisher.
Look at you.
I know CeCe Sabathia was on that team.
Yeah, but he didn't play in that game.
He didn't play in that game. Who pitched in that game? Gosh,
come on, all-time legend, number 46.
Oh, Pettit pitched in 2009?
Pettit was your starting pitcher.
Are you allowed to help him, Chasky?
Come on. Yeah, you can't just toss him a layup
right
there.
Relax. Relax. It gets harder as the game goes hard.
Bonte is one of the greatest Jock Pretty champions we've had at the station. He doesn't need any extra help.
You're missing two guys from the starting lineup.
Two guys in that starting lineup. Damn. Who's in that starting lineup?
You're missing a DH.
Yep.
By the nickname of Godzilla.
Oh, Matsui is on a team?
Uh-huh.
That's who he lasted until 2009?
And can you think of who the center fielder and left fielder were?
Oh, man. Melky wasn't on that team.
No.
Huh? He was coming off the bench?
Think of another scrappy little white guy.
Just say bald.
Oh, our boy. Cleanup hitter for a long time. Oh, man. This is going to kill me.
And the caveman.
Bald. Oh, man. What's his name?
Brett Gardner.
You're
never
going to
get that.
Who is that guy?
You're never going to get that.
Damn.
I'll give it to you. And then, last but not least, Johnny Damon, who was replaced by Jerry Hairston in that. Also, Jabba Chamberlain pitched in that game. And Marte pitched in that game. And who closed that game out?
Mariano.
Look at you. So you win that one, which was easy because it was a layup.
No, that wasn't a layup. The 2009 Yankees, like that was 15 years ago.
It's your Yankees.
Oh, I mean,
can you name?
It's a bit.
Can you now go to the first ever Yankee championship in 1923 without using Google?
All right, I'm just gonna say Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig.
A timeout. Babe Ruth is one. Lou Gehrig is not one.
Lou Gehrig wasn't on that team.
Not on that team.
Damn, I can't name.
I'm starting lineup.
I can't name the 1923 Yankees starting lineup.
It's your Yankees.
No, I'm a Giants fan. Come on, let's.
Sorry, what?
My Yankees? 1923 Yankees. I know Babe Ruth was on that team. I can't name another player on that team in 1923.
Well, you said Lou Gehrig, but there was someone else at first base before Lou Gehrig.
Oh yeah, who got a? Oh man, Wally Pipp.
There we go. Wally Pipp. How about some of these names?
Miller Huggins is
your coach.
Who?
Miller Huggins,
okay.
How about, these names are great. Whitey Witt in center field.
Whitey Witt.
Bullet Joe Bush.
He
pitched
great
one.
Days.
Joe Dugan. Great Irish name. Bob Musil. Babe Ruth, obviously batting in the three hole. Wally Pipp in the five hole.
Damn, he was fat and fifth and got Wally Pipp. Oh,
yeah. That's where the whole thing came from.
I know. I understand that.
Wally Shang. I think I'm saying that right. Catcher. Everett Scott. Herbie Pennock. Ernie Johnson was a pinch hitter in that game.
Ernie Johnson.
Yeah, not that Ernie Johnson.
Not that Ernie Johnson.
And then Sam Jones came in to pitch.
Well, Ernie Johnson, I automatically started thinking of Walter Johnson, the great pitcher back
different
in those
team.
Days. But different teams, of course.
Really quick. I mean, we mentioned Lou Gehrig. He was on that team. He was 20 years old.
Oh, he was.
Got 29 plate appearances. Dude hit .423 in those 29 plate appearances. Like,
of course he is.
Dude hit the ground running off the bench.
He's an iron horse.
Oh, no,
he's
it's pretty cool.
He's an iron horse. My Yankees.
So you got the 09 one right, though we helped you.
But you know what? I didn't really need to help. You're just so quick in the draw. You don't have patience. The 09 Yankees, that World Series gets lost because it was the last one with George Steinbrenner. He wasn't even at the stadium when they did clinch it against the Phillies. I really liked that Phillies team. This is before the Philly hate started. I wanted them to win. I wanted Chase Utley to get another one. Chase Utley was my favorite players. Jimmy Rollins, obviously, from Alameda, one of my favorite players. Ryan Howard, hitting bombs left and right. And they got smoked by the Yankees in that one. And A-Rod gets his first ring, and Jeter gets his last ring. And I did not know Pettit was on a team, though. 09, damn, he lasted a long time. That championship was 15 years ago.
It's crazy.
Yankees haven't won in 15 years.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Is this the year for the Yankees? Is this the year?
There's something about those pinstripes in 4K that were just hitting last night.
Yeah, see, you like the Yankees, too. I think you like big brands as well. Well, you like big name players.
I'm a baseball fan. How could I not be at least excited by the Yankees and their aura? Like, duh.
I'm a baseball fan. I love the Yankees. I love the Orioles and their aura and their logo.
But I don't go rocking around like, my Yankees.
I'm just doing it to tick you off.
I've made the Yankee hat more popular than a Yankee can.
Quietly. Shash, you've become a Baltimore Oriole fan.
Not really.
Oh, yes, you are. You talk more
about that last year. 2 months that Gunnar Henderson got with the Orioles last year. Audie Ruschman, who we're going to see in the home run derby.
Not once. Once they acquired Austin Slater, I was done with him.
Puts you all to the Orioles, man. They say you're the baseball guy. Who forecasted the Orioles? All right, let's get the Chiefs Niners. Got a lot of fun stuff coming up here. Box score, Bonte wins again. What's coming up in a game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. The 1923 Yankees. Papa Shasky could name three players on that team, and he was out there pulling dives left and right back in those days. All right, more coming up on the roast.
What did I do wrong?
Well. Bouncer, and Rizzo is going to be picked off. He's in the middle between second and third. Hedges now throws to second, on the way to third, back to second, back to third, tagged out, end of inning. Boy, if that wasn't the Yankees, that's what they do, run the bases like drunks.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
What is it about old age that just gets you to say whatever's on your mind? I mean, literally.
What did I do wrong?
Did you watch that inning?
No, I did watch the inning. John Sterling on WFAN. I'm just saying, you know, your home team broadcasters, I mean, he's letting it all fly. And I'm just thinking, when I think about older people in my life, they just let it fly off the hip. No filter whatsoever. They just going to tell you like it is.
They've earned the right to. They've lived long enough, you know? And it's like, what are they going to do? What are you going to do, fire John Sterling?
No, you're not.
Set for life. He's like 80-something years old. He's 88 years old. But in that inning, Jazz gets a leadoff double. They walk Volpe on like five pitches, not even close, throw the ball in the dirt. Jazz is dancing all over the place off of second base, and he gets picked off. And I'm saying to myself, Jazz, it's first and second with no outs after you just gave up some runs. It's a one-run game. You got Rizzo at the plate. A ground ball gets you both over, you know, to second and third in scoring position with one out. And anyway, Rizzo got a big rip afterwards, but Jazz gets picked off a second, and then Rizzo gets picked off. They had two horrific base running mistakes, and in the playoffs, that will cost you a game.
Did David Sampson get great joy out of Jazz Chisholm being picked off?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, but
he's hit on Jazz Chisholm. That's when I think of Jazz Chisholm. It's like, boy, David Sampson cannot stand the guy.
Well, Jazz is a very frustrating player because he does things like hit that double and then get picked off second.
Yeah, no doubt.
Jazz jumps in front of Volpe on a chopping ground ball, and it's like, Jazz, you were never going to make that play. Right. And Volpe should have charged it a little harder, but I don't know. He's not a third baseman.
No, he's not. He's not, and he's trying. But look, he's fun. The Yankees are fun to watch. Judge finally gets on the board, goes 1-for-3 with the 3-run jack. They actually intentionally walk Juan Soto, and then Judge got the sack fly, which is crazy to get the Judge. Intentionally walking somebody to get the Aaron Judge is crazy.
To load the bases.
To load the bases is crazy. But the Guardians had their shots, man. They had their shots in the fifth inning. They had their shots in this fourth inning, and they just could not come through. They cannot get the big hit. And so is Steven Vogt's boys a little overpowered? Probably. I mean, you lose game three, and it's basically over. I don't see a Red Sox situation happening like 0-4, where all of a sudden they come back and win four straight. I think the Guardians are cooked. You see them winning 4 or 5?
I have a hard time seeing it, but
it could happen. I mean, you never know.
I look at it this way. Like, you got the game where Judge finally hit a home run.
Right.
You had to win that game.
No, you did.
You're right. You had to win that game, and you were up multiple times in that game. And so the bullpen for the Yankees has been really good.
It has been really good.
And I think that's the differentiator for them.
This might be the Yankees' year, man. It might be their year. Now, Dodgers and Mets play a little later today, 5:08 p.m. Fox Sports 1. We'll get to 4K there. Walker Buehler going to Citi Field. That place is going to be a madhouse. They're going to be in a frenzy out in New York City in the Queens, right next to the U.S. Open, Flushing Meadows, whatever it is out there. They're going to be in a frenzy. Walker Buehler might be in some trouble today. He has not looked good. And he's coming back from the Tommy John. He had some hip issues early in midway through the year. Had to go back down to the minors. This is a tough spot for him. A
couple years back when he was going through his first big postseason run, I was like, is this guy going to be baby Verlander? Is he going to be one of those guys where he's just pumping 97 all game and then needs to in late inning, late game situations throw 100 miles an hour? Like, he was that good a couple years ago in the capri pants. The Tommy John, just, it's so hard to come back from that. It takes a long time. That's why it was so foolish for Giants fans and the organization to think that Robbie Ray was going to come back just absolutely lights out. It was just, you're coming back off of Tommy John.
Tommy John.
It's a year and a half injury.
Tommy John. So he's supposed to be good. And you know, baseball execs, again, we said this yesterday, we'll say it again today. You get Yankees / Dodgers or Mets, everybody wins. Everybody wins. Subway Series, I wouldn't mind a Subway Series, to be honest with you.
Well, they want the West Coast involved.
No doubt.
So apparently ESPN can opt out of their baseball deal at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. And like, everybody who's behind the scenes in Major League Baseball wants Dodgers Yankees. They need it. Like, they want it. They need it. I still believe ESPN will purchase some of the content because they have ESPN Plus. They need to put baseball somewhere. But this next CBA, I'm telling you, we're getting more playoffs, and they're going to do something to the regular season. Yeah. And they're going to do something to the starting pitching situation to force starters to be more important and less bullpen games. There's no executive that's sitting here that wants bullpen games in the playoffs. It's almost unavoidable at this point because there's not enough starters, but there's stuff that's going on behind the scenes. They're going to change the rules.
That's it on baseball here. Good playoff there. Yankees, my Yankees, 2-0. Maybe I'll wear my New York Yankee hat tomorrow. We're going to do that tomorrow.
I don't love Aaron Judge playing center field for them. Like, that's probably their best option. Verdugo's turning into Jock. He's putting on a little weight, you know?
Judge can play center, though. That's the value. Probably won't end up there.
He's a corner.
You got Stanton there. Maybe they'll get a center fielder. I don't know. Yankees are in a good spot. They're in a really good spot. I mean, is Juan Soto going to leave?
That guy. Just get in the batter's box. I don't need to see your 7-minute prequel before you taking that bat.
Don't be that guy.
I mean,
don't be that guy.
It was lovable when it was Pablo. But when it's Soto, it's just so not lovable.
Why is it not lovable?
And that's the reason why Soto's not going to come here. He just heard that and said, you know what? Giants off my list.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What kind of old man take is that, man?
He's not on my team, so I'm going to rip him. It's like Nomar Garcia Parr. Get in the batter's box, dog.
No. Do your thing. Step in there. No, that's what makes you Nomar Garcia Parr. Touch every part of your body. Bro. Get out the box. Kick dirt. Fix your gloves.
This is Juan Soto. The bat. He does the...
Yeah. Oh, I know.
He does yoga as I'm doing the yoga.
I love it.
Get in the
personality.
Box,
no.
My dad's up in heaven saying, get in the box and swing the bat. Let's go.
In the unlikely event that he's a Giant next year, you're going to be saying, you know what, Juan? You take your time. Do your thing outside the batter's 100%. Box. So.
And that's why.
Hey, you're admitting it.
And that's why baseball stays in the box that it's in right there.
What are you talking about?
Complaining about guys in the
batter's box. No, we're saying just get in the box and swing, dog.
Do your thing.
Get on the rubber pitch. Get in the box and swing.
I pay for that. As a consumer, and I'm your consumer, I want entertainment. So damn it, if you want to take 20 seconds to get in the box and take 20 seconds. I need you kicking dirt. I need you flinging the bat at the pitcher. That's intimidation. That's showmanship. That's entertainment. That's what I want to see every day. That's what gets my fiance involved. Oh, wow. Why is he doing all that in the box? It makes you watch. Come on. Don't get me started on that. Get in the box, please. If I don't get in the box, what you going to do? Hit me with the pitch?
Yeah, I'm going to throw up an in.
All right, well, go ahead. Then I got Judge coming up, and he's going to hit with 500 feet.
That's just why I love Pedro Martinez. Get in the box, dog. I'm going to have to throw up in on you.
No. I'm going to do my thing.
In the words of Nolan Ryan, I'll give you a Texas necktie.
Texas necktie. All right. And then next time you throw it in the zone, I'm going to send it to the Bronx. Well, I'm going to send it to Manhattan.
You know where I stood on the whole Giants versus Aaron Judge a couple years ago. I wouldn't have let him swing the entire series. And they did. First at bat, need a home run.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the way I would have ordered the code red.
So the order code red just because he didn't side with you?
It was the way it went down. He used us.
No, he didn't. Dude, you didn't think we were going to get used?
When you jump out of a moving vehicle, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah, 400 in the meetings, man.
And ain't nothing you can do about
it. Dude, that's why I apologize. Spinelli, you remember I apologized midway through the year? I said, hey, Giants fans, I'm sorry, man. We're not getting Aaron Judge. I don't even know why I even started lifting, threw the gasoline on the fire, man. Hey, come on. Come on.
We went to Linden, California as a station.
That did it.
I did, yeah.
That was going to close it.
Yeah, hey, there was
no... It is sad, but it's true.
There's no chance.
Aaron, we're smarter than you, and that's why you need to come here.
No, he's going to wear pinstripes. It's New York City. He made the right choice. I'm telling you, that Yankee game I went to, when they went back to back to back, and it was Soto, Judge, and Stanton, I'm telling you, that place was... It was buzzing for the next hour.
Of course it was.
And I was like, damn, I haven't felt like that in a Giants game since Aaron Judge hit two home runs on that Friday night.
Did you see what I posted on Insta?
No, I did not see
it. It was the Kenny Lofton 2002 hit into right center field for the Giants in game five to clinch. And
great moments.
And, well, no, it was awesome. And, like, I was thinking about how awesome Oracle, a.k.a. AT&T, SBC, whatever the hell it was called at that particular point in time. Just our crowds were so good.
Yeah.
For so long. I miss playoffs. Baseball bad.
They need it here. They need it here.
I need it.
They need it here bad. I mean, I love playoff baseball, sure.
I am rooting against the Giants.
Oh.
And it ended up working out.
Oh.
We got what we wanted. Oh. Thank you, Buster.
I'm actually excited about the Giants. I was excited about the Giants. And I see where this thing was going. And then they went at the deadline. They didn't buy or sell. They said, we're going to slash payroll. But we got the best rotation in baseball, so they're going to carry us. Farhan said that. It's unbelievable. And then the Scott Boras joke will live on forever. Anyway, let's move on from baseball.
Can I ask you a question about football?
Yeah, I was going to move on to football. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco, in Odyssey. Wait, where's my link? Oh, in Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Don't forget about the River Islands guest line. We're going to go behind enemy lines with Dan and Hughes, who covers the Chiefs, calls Chiefs games. He does a color commentary with Mitch Holstis, who was the Chiefs receiver. Actually, his first ever reception in the NFL was from Joe Montana.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Wow.
Very crazy.
So here's my